morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad you've joined us today, and hopefully you can come back tomorrow, and if not, enjoy the time with your family, your friends. You know what? Enjoy the time if it's just you. Jesus is not unaware of your situation. He's not unaware of where you're at. He's not unaware because he's Emmanuel. He's always with us. Last week, an amazing message. One of the things that stands out to me from what Pastor Josh talked about, and it was really early in his message, was that he said, that old REM line, it's the end of the world. And what? And I feel fine. Look, in Jesus, that's the truth. There's so much crazy, scary, weird things in the book of Revelation and in your day and in your life. But perhaps you've seen there's a whole lot more. That in Jesus, we have life and have it abundantly. And so, with that, I want to go straight to it. We have been looking at Emmanuel, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right, in the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus. It's revealing Jesus, he who is both Lion of Judah, roaring, powerful, nobody's greater than him, and Lamb. He's the sacrificial Lamb. He died. He's both. He's Lord and Savior. He's man and God. This is just mind-blowing, and we've been getting to know this Jesus. We're going to get to know him even greater in the year coming up, Lord willing, that we have life. Look, I know that there's a few people that have asked and a lot of people that want to know. Yep, this is an original. Made by my friend Shane Farrell right here. He is taking orders, so go ahead. I'm just kidding. But check it out. It says wonder, wonder bread. Check out John 6. Jesus is the bread of life. Yeah. The manna came and went, but Jesus didn't. He came and stayed. He's forever. And Wonder Bread's cool, but only Jesus is truly the bread of life and the wonder and the awe. And this star is glorious as well. All right, so there it is. I don't call it an ugly sweater. I call it beautiful. Well done. All right. I just, quick backstory. He's like, I don't even know if you'll wear it. I'm like, do you even know me? Do you know me? And it wasn't just because he's my dear friend. This is rad, and if you don't like it, it's not yours, so don't worry about it. Okay, so let's get to it. There's two realities in our world right now. One of them will pass, the other will not, and it's right here. It's John. Whoa, what? I like that. Did you put that up? Are you freestyling on me? That was amazing. Good job. That was so good. I'm not going to touch a button. It's all you. You be my button pusher, all right? Okay, thanks. John 10:10, the thief comes, Jesus says, only to steal, kill, and destroy. Saw it this week. Was a part of a death this week. It happens all the time. And the enemy hates us. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That you would have full life. This is not just a party that you have to enhance the mood. This is full life. That actually lasts even through death. And so look, I wanted to take you to the Luke story about Jesus and his birth. And I know that a ton of people are reading this and talking about it. I get a couple of different daily messages. Some of them are devotional and some of them are just Bible verses. And two of the three that I get had this verse, and I wasn't even trying to be cool like them. It's just God's word. So if you can, join me in Luke 2. We'll go 8 through 14, and then we're going to kick to 28 through 35. And I just want you to see this Jesus before, like his first coming in the revelation, okay, is the second advent when Jesus comes back. And so check this out. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Oh, sorry, page 857 if you have one of those black Bibles. It's up on the screen. If you don't, maybe you have it in your lap right there. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with? Not joy. Oh, Christmas. Oh, Martha. It was none of that. There was no, wow, this is the best ever. Did you see the light show? Dude. Nope. They were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for how many people? All the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." So then you fast forward, Jesus has been born. He actually goes to be circumcised according to the law. They're super poor. Gonna harken back to what Zach was saying about how the gold and the myrrh and all that helped them, because they were poor. They didn't just go to Egypt on a vacation and it was funded by their rich uncle. They took off, and we're gonna find out more about why they took off in that book of Revelation, actually. But we'll see again a shout out to all the peoples. We'll see this man, Simeon, who'd been waiting his whole life to see the consolation of Israel. God had told him, "You're gonna see the Messiah before you die." And homie was getting closer and closer to death. He had one foot on the proverbial banana peel and one foot in the grave. And then this happens. Let's go to 28 through 35. So Simeon sees this baby, Jesus, takes him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, I get to die now in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of," how many people again? All peoples. "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." My brother Shane is a golf pro, runs a golf course up in Marysville. He has told me that golf will develop character. I've told him that golf exposes my character. Look, there's so much to talk about today and so much I want to get to, but I want to talk about this for a second. Signs and beasts and the Lamb. Oh my. There's so much in Revelation. And last week, Josh unpacked a ton of stuff, and it was beautiful and wonderfully done. And there's a lot of questions, and people are like, "Yeah, but what do you mean the witnesses or the church? Isn't there really specific witnesses? Does it matter? Aren't they part of the church?" I get it. I get that we want to know specificity. Boom, boom, boom. Here's the specificity. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. He never loses. In him, we have life abundantly. Let's unpack all that and talk about all that, but at the end of the day, that's where we land, right? Some, okay. Like three of us, yeah, amen. Okay, good. All right. So I want to tell you a little bit about signs. I'm reading a book by a guy named Eric Metaxas, and it's thick and wonderful and really, really got me remembering how awesome God is. Here's a little line from there. The Greek word for miracle is semeios, which means sign. Miracles are signs. And like all signs, they're never about themselves. They're about whatever they're pointing toward. Miracles point to something beyond themselves. But to what? And so we got this miracle and this revelation, and we're seeing all of it. What are the miracles and the signs of revelation pointing to? Go ahead. Somebody said eternity. His return. What else? Reality. What reality would that be? The reality of who he is. He's being revealed. Is there any other signs in there? Do we find anybody else with signs and wonders in the book of Revelation other than Yahweh? There's a sign of hope. Is that what you said? Yeah. Amen. Who else produces signs? The beast, Satan. He's wanted to be God forever, or at least the forever we understand. He's not forever, and he has an end. And he had a beginning because he was created. We're going to look at that. I want to ask you to look back at Eric Metaxas' quote here on not just miracles, but signs. What are they pointing towards? And so with that, join me in Revelation 12. We'll go 1 through 2. There's a little shout out to the Old Testament all the way through this. Please go back. We've read through the book of Genesis. We've read through Daniel. We've read through Ezra, Ezekiel, Isaiah. This year has been a wonderful time of being in the Word. And we're going to do that again, over and over again, I pray. We're going to specifically look at the book of Luke all year next year. And for some of you, you're like, what? Can we get into some new stuff? Gosh, on the 6th, I'm going to be talking about the book of Luke. I'm in 1 John almost as much as I'm in the book of Luke. So it's just all together, okay? And it's wonderful. But look at this. And a great sign appeared in heaven, page 1034 in the Black Bible. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. A little shout out to Joseph's dream, by the way. You could check that out in Genesis. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Everybody wants to know who this woman is. I think there's at least two expressions of who she is, and two interpretations, rather, of who she is. Israel and Mary. Okay, I think they both work. Keep looking, keep reading with me. Here we go. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his head, 7 diadems, 7 crowns. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. You might want to look at Herod and all of his trying to stop Jesus being born. You might want to look also that people have been trying to destroy the Israel nation, okay, for a long, 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 long time. Still actually happening in 2018. I don't know if you're aware of that. Many, many nations have said, wipe them out. Wipe them out. That's our sole goal in life, is to wipe out Israel. Okay? Lots and lots to that. Some of you want me to unpack that. Not enough time, but I'd love to talk to you some more. Check this out, Revelation 12, 5. So this tale, he took down a third of the angels, if they could be counted. He brought them with him. He got whooped, right? But check it out. He wanted to take away this child, but she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And then there's a comma. That comma includes Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Because here's what's next. Listen. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Jesus died, rose from the dead, gave parting words, and ascended and sent his spirit. Listen, this next thing has already happened. Multiple things that has already happened. Is happening and will happen again. It's profound. That's prophecy in lots of ways. Foretelling and foretelling. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she's to be nourished for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Well, shout out to Daniel and his 7 years. It's right in the middle of it. A little wilderness trip that Jesus had with his mom and his stepdad, right? Friends, in this day and age of people who so desperately want to be known, so desperately want to make a difference, so desperately want to make money on YouTube, so desperately want to have their voice heard, would you listen to the voice of God? Would you listen to what he's saying to us right here and right now? He's eternal. He's God. Now, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated because he's a defeated foe, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. That's defeated. I don't know if you get that. But where did they get thrown down to? All right, that battle happened, and it's going to happen again, and I don't fully understand all of that. And enough people are like, you should learn more and deal with these things properly. I get it. I'm a work in progress just like you. I do believe that war has already happened. I do believe somehow there's going to be another war. I don't know how and why. I kind of get some ideas, but here we go. I want to tell you, this is how Jesus' people win. If you're not a Jesus person today, I pray to God that you would submit your life to him. Not because you're scared, not because this is Christmas and oh, I should probably wrap myself in a bow and give myself to Jesus. No, man, go way deeper than that. He made you, he loves you, he paid for you. Life is found only in the Lamb. As we found out last week, who actually sacrificed himself. That's how he won. And so here's how we win. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. The blood of the Lamb. He's worthy to be praised and honored and glorified and to be talked about. You know, if people want to leave Jesus out of just about everything, he's offensive. Now, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look, we're going to fast forward a bunch. There's a battle and there's beasts and a bunch of it is scary. Some of it doesn't even make sense. These beasts are representative. I want to let you know the first beast is representative of the military power and might of the world. And the next beast will be the economic power, and there will be. They've been given these things. Check out again Daniel 7 if you'd like a little more background on what this looks like. Let's go to Revelation 13. And we'll go 1 through 4. Remember, I mean, in the very beginning of our message, I know it's so long ago, but do you remember what we talked about? There's two realities, right? What's the reality that's not going to last? Satan, there's a thief, right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got power, and he's been doing a bunch of it. But what's the one that lasts? Who's the one that lasts? I mean, we're in church. It's Christmas time. Go ahead. Yeah, this is Jesus. He's come that we would have life and have it abundantly. He won us back, and he always wins. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns, and blasphemous names on its heads. I am God, is what Satan says, and many of us would prefer to be God than God being God. If you say, no, I don't, God's God, I'm not, how do you live? What you worried about? Worry's real. We're allowed to have it, but we need to submit it. Fear, anguish. I wouldn't do it that way, so I'll do it my way. And God will say, go ahead. You can do it your way. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. All this reference to worldly powers. And again, you see that in Daniel. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. In Matthew 4, we find that Jesus was being tempted by Satan. Look, all the power in the world has been given to me. I'll just give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus is like, nah, we only worship God around here. Man. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. Jesus died and rose from the dead. The enemy mocks that and tries to counterfeit it. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast? And who can fight against it? Who's like the beast? And who can fight against it? Nobody is like God. Who's like the beast? Who can fight against it? They're worshiping him. Look, they're getting duped. They're seeing this power and this authority. But I'm going to fast forward to verse 9. And I don't have 10 there because I wanted to read it out loud to you guys. So he's like, look, everyone's going to worship this thing. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword, must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Remember that song, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This? Mama said. Jesus said there's going to be days like this. Hang in there, saints. I got you. I've got you. Man, there's so much more. Let's go to 11 through 18. This is the second beast. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. Liar. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs. What do signs point to? Themselves or something else? What is the beast's signs pointing to? Yeah, the beast itself, to the dragon, to false God. Hey, the signs are everywhere, right? If this isn't giving Jesus props and that he's the only God, then it's not God. Capiche? I don't even know what that word means. I think it means understand. All right. So it performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed, catch that word, to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak. So it means even this image becomes alive, breathing life in. All kinds of stuff that's allowed. It looks like God, but it isn't. Jesus doesn't get credit. It's not God. Again, I'll ask you, do you understand that? Christmas is not about the presents piled up under the Christmas tree. It's about the K, the I, the N, the G. And that's Jesus. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead. Another shout out to the Old Testament, how they're supposed to keep the Shema on their right hand and on their forehead. Remember, the Lord is one. He's like, no. I actually am. So that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. I mean, what? That's hideous. You're not going to be able to buy and sell without these marks, saying that I am the one and the only, not Yahweh. This name of the beast, or the number of its name, this calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. I'm just not even going to unpack that for you. You can go and look it up. There's really a whole lot of cool teaching out there about the letters and how they add up to this and that, and six is the number of man. Then we find that there's three angelic warnings. These angels actually, in the middle of all this, shout out in Revelation 14, give all this warning, 6 through 13. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel. Do you guys remember what gospel means? Good news. The best good news is Jesus. He came. He died. He rose from the dead. He ascended. He sent his spirit. And his people have the same power that raised him from the dead, living inside of them. That's wonderful. We need that. This angel proclaims an eternal gospel to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation. How many nations? Every tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. This is a shout out to the false worship. Knock it off. Honor God. Fear him. Worship him. Merry Christmas. And another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." If you don't know what sexual immorality is, I'll just explain this to you. It's sex outside of the way God says it's supposed to go. We're not talking positions. We're not talking anything preferable. We're talking in marriage between a man and a woman for the glory of God. Anything outside of that needs to be repented of. That means stop, change directions. You're a Christian. Honor God with your body. If you're not, honor God with your body. I mean, so much through here, sexual immorality gets pointed out. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger." Gosh, that's just vivid. "Wrath poured into anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of Lamb." There is a hell, and hell's hot. And it's eternal, and it sucks. And I don't want anybody to go there. The Lamb and his angels will see it. Well, if God was love, why would he do that? Because God is perfect. He's holy. He is not wanting anyone to perish. But people will choose it over and over and over again. So these, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here's a call for the endurance, second time we hear this, of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their Father in Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." I don't think he takes everybody out of pain. They go through it, but they die in the Lord. And listen to this. "Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds have followed them." Next, we find this unbelievable reality, and you'll see it in here when you go and read it. Maybe you already have. There's two harvests. One is grain, and one is grapes and wine. The grain is God's people, and the grapes and the wine is blood. It's evil. And God says, it's over. We're not doing this anymore. Then you find that there's seven divine judgments. These are like the plagues, and Josh talked about last week, like the plagues in Egypt. Look, you'll see in there, and I'm not going to read them to you, but there's sores, there's blood a couple of times, there's fire, there's darkness, there's demon frogs. That's just scary. And then finally, there's hail, and this is the day of the Lord. And seven, I don't know if you remember, but seven is a number of completion. I'm going to fast forward to Revelation 16, 5-7. So the third angel poured out his bowl, and there were seven bowls, seven divine judgments. Third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was. For you brought these judgments, for they have shed blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink." It's what they deserve. You might remember this. I got a phone call from a lady who was trying to sell siding. And she says, "Well, what kind of siding do you have?" I said, "I have LP siding, Louisiana Pacific. It put out a pretty lame product at one point." Okay. And our siding needed to be replaced, and we didn't do all that we were supposed to do. And she goes, "Oh, well, LP, did you get what you deserve?" And I said, "You know what, friend? If I got what I deserved, I'd be going to hell. I got what Jesus wanted to give me instead." And she's like, "Oh, I haven't been to church for so long." and we talked and we prayed. And I think she went back to church. That's what I want to believe. She didn't give me her number and I didn't ask for it. That's just weird. Listen, God is just. Anything in his word that you don't agree with is your option. But it doesn't mean he isn't just. He's good, and his judgments are true. So the old bumper sticker, how's your eternity going to be? Smoking or non? I know that's funny, but he's offering it up. Look, I want you to have life. If you have ears to hear him, you will. If you don't, you won't. And I can't talk you in or out of it. We could do so much. Listen to this, and I have to breeze through. I'm going to go to Revelation 17:14. Look at all of the false gods. All of the nastiness falls down. Revelation 17:14. We're getting the end of the story, friends. They, all the armies of the world, all the kings that are left, Babylon, the beasts, and beasts are nations that become powerful and all that, and if you don't believe it, watch it. It's happened already, and it'll happen again. All of them will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called, wait for it, chosen, faithful. This is glorious, church. There is a party going on in heaven because of the Lamb. Let's go to Revelation 19, 1 through 8. I had to finish on a good one. I'm going to have the worship team come back. We're going to sing a song together. We're going to take an offering first, and then we're going to sing a song together. I want you guys to see this kingdom. I want you guys to see this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It doesn't have to all be mash and nastiness and blood and gore. It will be for a lot of people, but that's not the final word if you're in Jesus. After this, after everybody, like, whoa, and whining and bellowing, and like, wow, hold on, Babylon was so strong and powerful, and now she's gone in an hour? How'd that even happen? Don't be surprised. Do you know how great nations have fallen? Quickly. Quickly. Jesus never does. Even when he died, he rose from the dead. Come on. That's victory. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! You remember what that means? Praise the Lord. It's all right, church. You're like, man, this is the weirdest Christmas message I've ever heard. Okay. It's about Jesus, so it's not as weird as you might think. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her blood the blood of his servants. Once more, they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great, all of us who revere him, honor him. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. What's this fine linen? Great that you asked. It's right here in the text. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. We have a righteous king. and that we get to live for and celebrate the Lamb. I'm going to have the team come forward. We're going to take this offering. We're going to bring this Lamb lifestyle right here, right now. We want to help children. We want to help people who can't help themselves and help their children. We want to see this Lamb be glorified and honored. Do you know what they're able to do in their medical clinic? Pray for people. Sometimes that's all they've got. They come there, little bit of medicine, lots of love. Can I point you to Jesus? Some people die having given their lives to Jesus. Some people are healed on the spot. What have you been prepared to do to give to this Caleb's dream, to live for and celebrate the Lamb? Look, we're taking this special end of the year offering as an expression of gratitude to Jesus, worship of this great King, and his righteousness that allows us to do these righteous deeds. So, we're going to have you guys come forward. I pray, Jesus, that you take this and that you manifest it into something that we couldn't do on our own. Would you fill us to overflowing? Would we celebrate you in your goodness as we give, Lord, not just to complete a dream of a little kid, but to say to the world, your kingdom, your rule, and your reign is serious to us. And we take it serious and we invest in it in every way. God, I pray this in Jesus' perfect name. Amen.